And good day, good night. Welcome back to World Cup Today. Two shows today, a little bonus edition for you today. France, Peru, Croatia, Argentina. France moving on to the round of 16, Dwayne. And Argentina probably won't.
Yeah, I wouldn't count them out completely. I mean, they look like shambles for sure today. And, they, you know, it's hard to see them even getting a result against Nigeria. But, you know, if Nigeria is to beat Iceland tomorrow, and I don't fully believe in Iceland, even if after the result against Iceland, or against Argentina, pardon me, then they're still in with a chance. But certainly a lot of ugly going on there. Every World Cup, there tends to be one of those pre-tournament darlings that just completely, you know, what's the bad, and it does appear that it might be Argentina this time.
This was the 13th game managed by Sampaoli for Argentina. It was a 13 different starting 11. So that tells you all you need to know. No really identity, no continuation, no project, really. It's just, okay, who's hot today? Who's feeling good, guys? Okay, you guys go. Okay. Give the ball to Messi. You guys go. Okay. It's not working. Dybala. Okay. Curling in the far post. Man, it's not working either. Guys, what are we doing next?
Well, yeah, there doesn't seem to be a plan there for sure. And look, it's a product of the Argentina Federation, which, you know, if we remember, we talked about it a little bit on this morning's show about how Messi had retired, quote unquote, from international football in a dispute with the Argentine Federation following the Copa Centenario 2 years ago. And, you know, that didn't last long. They ended up getting that settled, largely probably because Messi wanted to come back for another World Cup. But when you have such chaos below the surface, I think it only stands to reason that it's going to, you know, present itself and the on the main, you know, team as well. And no one wants to step up and take responsibility for this. On the British coverage, I had the British coverage on today. At the post game, they were looking for someone to talk, and you know, from Argentina after to explain what happened. You know who ended up stepping up?
Really?
Pablo Zabaleta.
Well, you know, he's commentating, right? He was doing commentating before.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Like, the only person they could have talking to him is Pablo Zabaleta. The players on the pitch would not step up and talk about this, right? And you know, that says something to me as well, that normally if you have a functioning team that had a bad day, that the players on the pitch would be willing to, you know, to put their hand up. But it doesn't seem like that's happening here. And you saw a very frustrated Messi. Yeah. You know, you can't blame him for this completely, but
he gets hacked every second, and if I'm Croatia, guess what? I would do the same damn thing. I'm like, okay, they got one real threat. Not that they have one. They have a lot more, but it feels like they don't believe in each other for some reason. Look, you got Higuain, Dybala, Kun Aguero. It's hard to give them service, yes, and Croatia dominated the midfield with Rebic, with Rakitic, with Mandzukic on top. Mandzukic, but going in the midfield, coming in, tracking deep, and helping in the work rate. And of course, Modric. What a performance! What a goal by Modric to seal things up late, to the second, and then of course the third goal with score effect when Argentina throws everything at Croatia and it opens up. Croatia got the third goal late, but for Argentina, it's literally, you have talent, you do have some soft spots, and look, Sergio Romero, goalkeeper, starting goalkeeper for Argentina, being injured just a few weeks out of the World Cup, leaves you with Willy Caballero. Willy Caballero is probably the weakest player in the entire Argentina pool. He's the backup of the backup, and he's not even good enough to be backup of Chelsea or backup of Manchester City, so... Right, you play against Croatia, who's firing on all cylinders with one of the best players in the world, in Luka Modric. Good luck, Willy. And then he does a mistake, like he usually does, and it costs a goal.
Willy is a fine backup at the Premier League level. I mean, he, you know, because I think he's a likable guy, and you know, he has some qualities in terms of shot stopping. But what we saw on that goal, as a City fan, during the year that he essentially ended up when Bravo wasn't really working out, he ended up becoming City's starting keeper during what was the lost season. That was part of it. And you know, he makes those kind of mistakes on his feet. I mean, he's a guy that thinks he's probably a little better with his feet than he is what it comes down to, right? And you got to feel for him a bit. But because, and look, the other side of him, why he still maintains a job, is you saw that save he made on that, like, when the best of the rest of his players were like strolling with their hands in their pants, and he managed to stop the first shot, was hopeless in the second one because he was completely out of possession after making a stop with the third goal. But yeah, that says it all. And that third goal could, you know, if the scenario flies out, if let's say Nigeria wins tomorrow and they're going into that final game, you know, Argentina might end up missing out on the second round based on goal diff, based on that third goal. That's entirely possible, and they had given up at that point. Now, all that said,
oh, they almost got into fights, right? They literally got into fight, almost into fights on the field. Otamendi with a really hard tackle, and it was almost close to fisticuffs.
No, 100%. They're just with a team that was dysfunctional at that point, which makes me think that they're probably going to lose to Nigeria. So I don't think it's going to matter ultimately. They just don't look like they have anything. Like, you'll remember the year France blew up, 2010.
Yeah.
They looked the same way. They looked hopeless in their second match, and they ended up just mailing it in at the end, right? So it doesn't look good for them right now. And certainly, I'm sure that if you're Fox in the States, where you when the U.S. didn't qualify, they threw all their marketing behind Messi at that point, and well, here we are.
Ronaldo, Cristiano, come save us. And you know what's going to happen? Ronaldo's going to win the World Cup. And Messi's not going to get out of their group. And everyone's going to keep saying one thing. Well, Ronaldo's got the World Cup. He's got Euros. What did Messi do for Argentina?
Well, and that's not entirely fair. He dragged them single-handedly to the final in 2014 is what Messi did. But
I know it's not fair. I'm just saying that's what people will say anyways.
Yeah, for sure. And look, we're saying Argentina, Argentina, Argentina. We should not ignore Croatia here.
Oh, no, exactly. Full measure.
Yeah. And you mentioned that midfield. I've listed again. I mean, that's maybe the most talented midfielder in this tournament. And they were full measure for it today. And as I, you know, if you listen to our prediction show, I listed them as my dark horse pick. And I also listed Peru. We'll talk about them in a minute. But that was kind of my secondary dark horse pick in my defense. Although the Peru's looking, and we'll save that for now. But no, Croatia is absolutely looking good. And I still think, especially since they might come out on first, well, they look like they're going to come out on top of this group now.
To win 6 points.
Yeah, they're going to, they have a chance to go deep in this tournament. I have no hesitation suggesting that this is a potential semifinal or finalist team. Hell, get the right amount of magic.
Sure.
They could win. They could join an elite club.
Yeah, they could be one of those new countries that we're talking about who's going to win the World Cup eventually. I want to go back on Argentina for a second, because if you go back to Argentina versus Iceland, the first game in the group for Argentina and Iceland, the 1-1 draw, Caballero made a terrible mistake at the beginning of the game too, and it came really close to having a terrible outcome in a goal for Iceland. That game could have gone another way too. Of course, there's the penalty by stopped by Iceland, the penalty of Messi, so it could have been gone either way. But Iceland have looked good, especially compared to Nigeria. And I would not be surprised at all if tomorrow Iceland gets a victory. And guess what? What you mentioned, Argentina is such in a turmoil that it might cost them even a game against Nigeria. They could play terrible against Nigeria and not even get a result there. So it would be a moot point, and you will have Croatia winning the group, but Iceland finishing second. The darlings would continue. Cinderella caught the carriage, and it stayed into a carriage, did not turn into a pumpkin after midnight.
I'm not willing to go that far until I see that game start to play out tomorrow, because I don't know how much of that game against Argentina was Argentina playing poorly, and how much of it was Iceland stepping up. So that's why, and the same thing with the other game too. How much of that was Nigeria playing poorly, and how much of it was Croatia just being good?
That's true.
Still going to need to see the second game until I'm willing to put more meaning in that, because we just saw Argentina look horrible today. So, you know, there we go. So let's watch that one play out. But yeah, absolutely. You know, I would say at this point, if I had to predict it moving forward, barring some miracle change in attitude in the next 4 or 5 days, Argentina doesn't look like they have anything in them. They're unlikely to. They're going to. Where the history suggests that when a team that has top end talent, like they do, starts to spiral like this, they revert into their own little individual camps, and they're just going to start worrying about themselves and worrying about not getting hurt in that third game, because they're not going to look at this team and go, oh, yeah, we can win the World Cup. They're going to go like, let's just get the hell out of Russia and get home and get back to our clubs and make sure that we're not hurt. Like, is Kun Aguero going to push himself, or is he going to go, nah, I got to be healthy for City's Champions League aspirations this year?
Let's forget about this for 4 years, and we'll talk about this while in two when we need to qualify again. So how about we move on? You're probably right. That's probably going to happen for Argentina. And I just want to finish on that game before we move on to Peru and Denmark and say, how good is Luka Modric? Like, it's not just his shot and his goal and the patience that he had to wait for a second opportunity, a second lane to open up, get that ball, got that shot, spectacular goal, and Croatia had a 2-0 lead at that point. What a performance by Modric.
Well, yeah, he's a regular on one of the greatest teams ever. He's a world-class player. And he's one of the main reasons that I picked Croatia as having a chance to win the World Cup, even though they're a country that never has before. They have a superstar, and they have immense depth around that superstar. It's a complete team. And they play – the thing about Croatia, when you look at their history and doing my pregame or pre-tournament research, I – listen to a few Croatian takes on this. They said that it's a confidence team, that if they have a bad result off the top, that they tend to just get down on themselves and spiral. But when they have good results off the top of tournaments, they tend to do well. And they're certainly having good results now. So I don't know, the sky's the limit for this team at this point. And there's been no, arguably has Croatia been the best team in the tournament right now? We were talking about that the other day, that there's been no dominant team so far. Hell, it might be Croatia with two wins now and two dominant wins. It's hard to argue against it.
Yeah, because France is another team that does have two wins, but did not look convincing in either of those two wins. Yes, they got the results. They got the wins. They were able to score two goals in the first one, one in the second. A great effort by Mbappe and Giroud. Yes, it's a bad bounce, and Mbappe was at the right place at the right time to bury it into an empty net. And Dwayne, he has become the youngest French player ever to score at the World Cup for France. Let's not forget, he's 19 freaking years old, and he's looked like he's having the time of his life. I would too.
Well, you know that he's making a big move somewhere soon. Something that's like a handful, like a dozen or so players have scored as teams in the World Cup, so joins a very elite club there too. France is a weird one. I said this at the time. They're almost impressive in the fact that they've been unimpressive, if you know what I mean. Like, they're doing just enough to get by these games, which doesn't, necessarily translate into, like, oh, my God, look at them, they're world beaters. But at the same time, they're doing just enough. So they probably have another gear. And you think about that, that becomes scary. If you're getting the wins without that second gear, then maybe when you hit second gear, you're going to be a little more dominant. But
yeah,
we certainly would have expected more out of them so far, but 6 points is 6 points.
That's true. And I was thinking, too, when you have a team that just does enough to beat the other team, sometimes they adjust their play to the opposition. So when you have a good team, example, you face a Germany or something down the road quickly, who knows, and then, well, you just do just enough to beat them. Well, guess what? You move on. So maybe just enough is good enough.
I think Peru, to speak of them briefly, I mean, they're obviously eliminated now, so you don't want to dwell on them, but they did play well in both games. But what they lacked was some, like, bite up front, right? And France would have known that going forward. So they would have been confident that one goal probably could have held up, and they did defend very well in the second half. Peru had a lot of the ball, but they didn't, if you notice, most of their attempts on that, their closest they came was that swerving kick that hit the crossbar, and that was just kind of one of those great attempts that was, but it was from what, like 25 yards, right? They weren't getting anything in the 18, and France was very ably protecting the inside of the pitch, the scoring errors. The XG in that game would not have been very very big for Peru, because a lot of their opportunity was coming from outside the scoring zones.
Yeah, no, it was, but Peru still fought, and they do deserve better, right? They got a bad draw in a way that they found themselves in a group that it's not as easy as we thought it was going to be. Australia, Peru, Denmark, and France. This group is closer than I imagined. And Peru, even though they're eliminated already and they're fourth in this group, it could have gone either way, and I could have seen them finish second just of how things unfolded and how they didn't get that lucky break here or there. But yeah, even the Denmark-Australia game this morning was kind of impressive. Australia with, yes, it was a penalty and it was VAR, but the result stands. So this group was closer than anticipated. France will win it with their two wins, probably. We'll see the result of the Denmark and France game, the last game of the group, depending of who gets the rest, and we'll see who starts. We'll see a Lemar start probably for France. You're probably going to see a Giroud get the start. Maybe Griezmann going to get some rest. So it'll be fascinating for that. But this group, at the end of the day, is a lot closer than anticipated. And Peru, imagine if Peru landed in Group H instead of Group C. They could have won that group.
No, there's absolutely harsh results. They should have beat Denmark. They would have won that game 9 times out of 10, but they didn't. So here we are, and Denmark probably, as I said, is not likely going to be the deserving number 3-2 team based on the play so far, but it's the three-game group, the three games, right? If they play, I don't know, a 12-game league or something, it probably shakes out a little differently, but that's not how these things work. So here we are. You know, the second place team out of this group is not going to be particularly impressive. I agree that France will probably grind its way out to another kind of 1-0 against Denmark. So likely, I suspect that seems to be how this thing is shaken out. And yeah. I don't expect that you're going to see the Denmark or Australia if things go really sideways for Denmark in that game. I don't expect the second place team to have a very long stay beyond the group stage. They just haven't really impressed. And as you say, Peru might have been the better team. They probably are the more skilled team. They're certainly the better team to look at, to watch. Brought a lot to this tournament. Feel bad for the fans. As I've said before on the show, I have Peruvian friends, so I feel bad for them. But, you know, it's a harsh, harsh game sometimes. And one of the pre-tournament favorites are both of our picks to win the tournament goes on. With 6 points and looks to set themselves up well for the round of 16.
Let's look ahead at tomorrow to finish this bonus show, Dwayne. Tomorrow morning, another cracker of a game, kind of. We'll see how it unfolds. Brazil, Costa Rica at 8 a.m., followed by Nigeria, Iceland. And wrapping up Group C and D tomorrow, so Serbia, Switzerland at 2 p.m., the last game tomorrow. I kind of am excited to see if Brazil, Costa Rica will live up to expectation. This game in 2014 would have been amazing.
Yeah, Costa Rica, as I've said before, I think is a cycle too old right now. But all eyes will be on Brazil to see whether they can provide a little bit more Brazilness. I don't know what a word I'm trying to say there. Be look a little more like Brazil in that second game than they did against Switzerland. I suspect that they will. I'm not that high on Costa Rica right now. That's all due respect to them. They had a great 2014. They've had a great couple cycles in a row, but I do think they're on the tail end now. And Brazil will look to recover from the 1-1 draw to start this thing off. Switzerland, you know, they're the consummate average team. They're the 16th best team in every tournament, and they're looking like that again. I suspect that they'll find a way out of that. The middle game, though, is the one that's fascinating me, just to see how this rest of this group, to finish the story of the Argentine group, what's going on there. And I just disrespected Croatia again by calling it the Argentine group. Let's call it the Croatian group now.
Yeah, it's the Croatia group. You're absolutely right. For me, I am seeing this narrative now, the one that we have forgotten, come up. You know, it's European World Cup, eh? You know what they say about European World Cup? A lot easier to win by European teams. And the way it's looking, few teams looking good, few teams that are European. And Brazil might have some difficulty, especially with the pressure. Of course, Neymar had the injury. He practiced yesterday and today, so that's all good. And tomorrow morning, he's probably going to start against Coros. Actually, Tite, the manager of Seleção, has said that he will have the same starting 11 against Costa Rica that he had against Switzerland. So tomorrow morning, Brazil-Costa Rica will have the same starting 11 for Brazil. So that will be interesting. But Serbia-Switzerland, for me, it'll be a case of, where's Serbia? Is Serbia up and coming, or is Serbia there already? They have a good few players. Like, they have talent. They have skills. And sometimes just a moment of greatness. And we're going to touch a subject that I want to talk to you about to finish the show, too. Like, you have moment of greatness that don't come usually from a perfect play, right? That's what you see Argentina. They're waiting for the perfect play. They're waiting for the perfect play to give the ball to Messi, for Messi to do the perfect play or the perfect run. goals come from the grind in this World Cup. Yeah, sometimes they're beautiful goal from far, but that have been created, worked hard, turnovers, 2-3 guys pressing, getting the ball back, finding an open lane, finding a shot on net in the goal, or taking advantage of an error. So I've seen in this World Cup the hard work, the grind mixed with skill to finish the opportunity that you get. You'll need those skills, but the hard work and the grind outside of Peru has been paid off.
You know, for sure. You mentioned South America. They're having a terrible World Cup. I mean, Uruguay is the only team that's winning, and they're not looking very good doing it. So you look at Colombia lost to Japan. It's been a bad World Cup for the South Americans, for sure. It's a product, what you're talking about, though, of the parity, which has been a theme that we've talked about a lot in this. And I tweeted it this morning that the goals, there have not been a ton of goals in the World Cup. It's probably down a little bit. I'd have to look at the stats. A lot of 1-0 games, but the games are really all compelling, and they're all compelling because they're close. They're close and they're creating chances, and it looks like both of the teams in these games are in it. There's very few mismatches that we've seen so far. And although I think there's still probably only a handful of teams that legitimately can win this tournament, there are probably half of the teams in the tournament that I could make an argument could go to a quarterfinal or semifinal, and that's different from the past. Where frankly, there weren't even really probably 8 teams in the tournament that really deserved the quarterfinals in some, right? You know, there's always a couple that snuck in because they had to. So I think that that's what's making this an interesting World Cup that way. And every game you look at, wow, there's a story there. Like I look at the game this morning, Denmark-Australia. I woke up kind of going, you know, I'll do some other stuff. I've got to, you know, got to tidy the room and all that. I'll throw it in the background. And I was transfixed by it halfway in because it was such an entertaining game. And that's not a game that you would have in the past looked at and been excited about. But in this World Cup, it just really was.
And I have a feeling tomorrow, Iceland-Nigeria might be that game, right? Just because now Nigeria is going to work hard. They're going to try. And Iceland's going to play the way Iceland plays, which is sometimes don't overcomplicate things and trying to get the ball on target, trying to work hard, trying to get that defensive mentality and just create some opportunities, one or two, and you bury them and then you get the result. Yeah, it could be a very fun game to watch tomorrow, Nigeria-Iceland.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, as I said, if Nigeria gets that win, it's going to be very interesting to see the final game when they pass the Iceland. So if Iceland gets a result tomorrow, well, I can imagine a lot of taking the ball to the corner when Croatia plays Iceland. But at any rate, that should be fun.
Yeah, and I can see Luka Modric, and I can see a few players being rested for Croatia as well, because what's left to play? Nothing. And there's only there's more to lose than to gain at that point. So that's always interesting. All right, that will wrap it up for today for this bonus edition of World Cup Today. As always, you can follow Dwayne on Twitter at 24th Minute. And myself at Kev Larame. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m., with the review of the game of the morning and a look at what's to come. And as always, this show is brought to you by sportsinspire.ca. The World Cup collection is now available for a limited time only at sportsinspire.ca. And as always, until tomorrow, have a great soccer.